BOAC. Do you guys know what that was? BOAC? We used to make fun of it. Better on Air Canada. Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Pierre Maguire in Tampa for Game 3 after 5. Bruce Hill, COO of Just for Last Festival. They got PK Subban doing a benefit, hosting a gala to wrap up the Just for Last Festival. And we have tickets to give away to that gala after 5:30. And Aaron Ward will rejoin us from North Carolina after 6. On Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. It's a pleasure to welcome back. He is with us every Wednesday. He is calling the World Hockey Championship for TSN alongside Ray Ferraro. Gordon Miller, how are you?
Hello, Joe.
Yes, sir.
That means good.
Why does it take three words to say good?
So if I say Kaktila,
yeah,
means how are you?
Uh-huh.
You say Hadashoa, which means good, or Adlichna, which means excellent.
Okay, I'm usually excellent. When I'm talking to our friends at TSN, it's excellent. It's better than good.
Well, then you say Adlichna.
Adlichna.
Adlichna. There you go. Adlichna. You're on your way to speaking Russian.
Yeah. So yesterday, as we're finishing up with Ray.
I hope not, because if I do, that means that this little beverage that I'm going to go to turns into many, many. But you know how that gets out of hand, right?
Yeah, especially if you're hanging around with Gord Miller in Russia.
Oh, no. Gord's got family here. Gord's out of sight, he's kind of doing his thing, and they're touristing it up and all that.
There you go. That was when I asked Ray if he was going to keep the night going by waiting 4 hours for the start of the NHL game, and that was his response.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. My daughter is sitting here right now with me as we do this interview, and the last time she was sitting with me was the infamous night she corrected me on the air with you.
What was that?
I said the word hate. I was driving her to ballet.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, I hate to make a prediction. She said, Dad, you said a bad word. And I said, oh, sorry. I said, hey, you just said it again. It was a debacle. It was a complete debacle, and she has absolutely...
So who is that?
My daughter, Blair, laughing in the background. She loves that story.
How old is she now?
She's 11.
11 years old.
At the time.
Yeah. So is she into the vodka or what?
No, my 11-year-old is not drinking vodka. We had a great day. We went to the Peterhof Palace today. She's seen the Hermitage. She's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's been a great experience.
All right. So do you want to pick up before? Because, we know what's happening tomorrow at 9 o'clock, Denmark and Finland, and then at 1 o'clock, and we've got live coverage, if you're not in front of your TV set, right here, Canada and Sweden. We'll get to that in a second. But, Ray was quite outspoken. On the hit by Corey Perry, and then Ryan Rashad afterwards asking Corey Perry, who claimed he didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, is that part of the Corey Perry that I guess we choose not to concentrate on often enough?
Right. So it's a classic example of, and I think every team's had them, but over the years the Montreal Canadiens have had lots of guys like this, right? That you always say you love to have as a teammate, hate to play against them.
Yeah.
Guys who are dirty. And I have to say this, and it's not for me to pronounce judgment on Ray Ferraro's career. He was tremendous yesterday. I think that was a gutsy, really good piece of analysis by him. I think it's the easy thing to do is, to be a homer and everything else and to cheer for Canada. Ray didn't like the hit, and he came out and said it. I thought that was tremendous.
He kicks his left leg out. The garbage play. You just cannot do that. And that's Corey Perry would lose his mind if Patrick Laine did that to him. That's just a dirty play. I don't like it.
There you go. That's part of what he had to say.
So let me ask you this. When's the last time you heard someone broadcasting a game, either by a home team in the NHL or internationally, to say something like that?
Well, obviously, you got me stumped.
Well, I'll go back to, he's a friend of mine, Brian Conacher, did the analysis of the 1972 Summit Series.
Right.
And before the series began, he said, the Soviets are very skilled. I played against them in the Olympics in 1968. They have high-end skill, and people said, you're a commie lover.
Yeah.
And when he was critical of Bobby Clark for breaking Valery Harlamov's ankle, people were very critical of him at home. And I think it took great courage by Brian Conacher back then in that time. But I thought that was a very courageous, gutsy, on-air call by Ray yesterday. And I'm his friend and his colleague, but I was really impressed by his the way he dealt with that.
Yeah, I don't know if people are aware how much, well, obviously, you know, he took a lot of heat on Twitter and elsewhere for saying what he did and how he said it, and he didn't back down afterwards. And I think Corey Perry's reaction to Ryan's question says more about Corey Perry than anything else. Okay, so let's, by the way, Chris Pronger, of our generation, the dirtiest player you've ever seen?
Yeah, of our generation, I would say he's right up there. You know, does Ulf Samuelsson count? I mean, you know, Ulfie was dirty, for sure.
But I'm talking about great players.
Yeah. My time, Mark Messier.
Right.
Mark Messier was a vicious player.
Glenn Anderson was pretty good with the stick, too, right, Gord?
Right, but Mark was, I would say Messier, you know, he hurt people on purpose.
Right.
Sure.
All right, Canada and Sweden. Is there? Do you expect any kind of carryover from, you know, what was a flat starting in goal and elsewhere performance?
No, I don't. I think, you know, I think to have it, to be a good goaltender, you have to have a great glove hand and a short memory, right? And let's see if Cam Talbot can bounce back from that, because really, you know, by his own admission, he did not play well in that game against the Finns. Now, there was a lot of things that went wrong for Canada, but he didn't play well. He didn't give them a chance to win the game. They were out of the game before they ever had a chance to try to win it. And so we'll see how he plays. I mean, the Swedes, you know, we've seen them internationally so long. They hang on to the puck, wait for the good chance, and we'll see how he does in that circumstance. I mean, you might only face 15 shots against the Swedes and face 9 scoring chances.
That's like the old Russians, right?
In a lot of ways, although the Russians were a regroup team, the Swedes are more of a, you know, bring it in, establish position, and move it around. Like, remember the Russians would bring it in, I don't like the looks of this, bring it back, start over again, that kind of thing. That's not the Swedes. The Swedes are more side to side, and they take advantage of the big ice. They're very good defensively. The trap was invented in Sweden. I'm sure Pierre has told you that 8,000 times. And you know, they're very good defensively.
Yes. So lay off Jacques Lemaire for the umpteenth time with Gord Miller at the World Hockey Championship in St. Petersburg, Russia, on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Rod.
Hey, Gord. So in these best-on-best or nearly best-on-best situations, sometimes a team peaks at the right time, which would be ideally the gold medal game. Sometimes they need a little bit of adversity, and it serves as a wake-up call. I mean, are we reading too much into this to call that a wake-up call, or was it just, you know, a bad performance from player 1 through 20, and they'll move on?
Yeah, I think, no, you're right. I think it's one of those things where you'd say, you know, I don't buy the whole wake-up call thing. I'm not sure I like the idea of a wake-up call. But they didn't play well. They played a very good team. And they probably learned a lesson after sleepwalking through a bunch of games. But that said, now you get into the single elimination situation, right? And it's amazing to me how, think about the great Montreal teams under Scotty Bowman in the 70s. I believe the 77-78 season, when they won the Stanley Cup, I think they were 14-2 in the playoffs, right? If you lose one of those two games in the quarterfinals of one of these tournaments, you're out. And you think about all the years of these, you know, international tournaments, whether it's the World Junior, the Olympics, whatever, and think about the close calls that Canada's had en route to gold medals in quarterfinals, semifinals. It's amazing. It really is something else. And I think these are the games you love, because it's one shot. The small country, now Canada's playing Sweden, so a different situation. But the Germans, you know, talking to their coach, Marco Sturm, a one-game shot, they'll take it. Get a hot game from their goaltender, get a couple of bounces, keep it close. They love their chances.
14-2 in the playoffs after losing 8 all season. Yeah. Mitch Gallo.
So they were 14-2, yeah.
Gorda, how do you see them working out the ice time? I know they've been going with kind of this balanced approach, but do you think we see, and it seems like we've seen Connor McDavid get a little bit more ice time as the tournament has progressed, but how do you see that shaking out tomorrow?
I think now they'll shorten the bench. They haven't in the past, but I think they will. They dress 20 instead of 18. It's a different setup here. And, you know, so basically Sam Reinhart's been the 13th forward, hasn't played a lot. I think you'll see the bench shortened even more in the game against Sweden. They'll go basically 3.5 lines. So more ice time for McDavid, more ice time for Duchesne, Hall, and their top-end players.
Gord, let me ask you about a couple of individual players that are making news, obvious ties to the Montreal Canadiens. Martin Revaille has signed a 3-year contract with the Canadiens. Has he stood out to you in any way?
No. No, I'm sorry. Like, yes, he's a really skilled guy and was in junior. What you don't see from him, what we've seen from him over the course of his career at the world junior level and here, is against tougher competition, he just finds it too difficult. He finds it really tough to play the kind of game he wants to play because you can't play it here. And you can't play it, you won't be able to play it in the American Hockey League either. He's going to have to change the way he plays. You got to play a north-south game, move the puck quickly and get it back. Holding the puck and spinning back, you can't do that anymore.
That was the issue, major issues that Jiří Sikáč had before the Canadiens moved him out.
So this idea that you're going to hold the puck and you know, the problem now is, think of the Wayne Gretzky play. For years we saw Gretzky do this, come across the blue line, button hook back. Now, that back-checking forward just swallows you up. Right? The back pressure is so strong. So what we've seen from Revaille, the World Junior, the World Championship, is, and Benoit Grew talked about this in Gatineau, is give the puck to someone else and get it back. Beat someone with the puck. If you're going to hold the puck, it's going to die with you.
And how about a player that a lot of teams are interested in? The Canadiens were among the first, it seems, that people were aware of that were taking a look at him because of their obvious needs. He's about, what I think he's pushing 30, and that is the Russian center, Shipachev.
Yeah, so he's always been really good internationally. He's been a very good player internationally. The question is, and Pavel Datsyuk would be a positive example of this, can you bring a Russian player over at that age, after that many years, and try to change their game? And when you think about it, you look at players from Russia and the way they play, and we kind of look at it and go, well, why are they like that? Read the piece by Evgeny Kuznetsov in the Players' Tribune about the difference in Russian hockey and North American hockey. And he's not being critical. He's just saying that they're always saying in North America, dump it in, get it deep. And in Russia, they're saying, hold it and make a play. Because the disparity in talent is greater in Russia. You can take advantage of lesser players. In the NHL, there aren't lesser players. The difference between the best players and the worst players in the NHL is so thin now, you're not going to beat somebody one-on-one. And so a lot of guys who have spent a long time in Russia still try to beat people one-on-one. And Artemi Panarin, the first 20 games of the year, really had to have it explained to him, like, give the puck to a good player, you'll get it back right away.
I remember reading that piece, Gord. I agree with you. It was really good. And basically, Kuznetsov in that piece, he said that growing up, his biggest idol was Alex Semin, right, who we also saw at his worst here in Montreal.
Right. Well, Alex Semin was a great player. He really was. He's been a great player internationally, and he was a really good player for a time in the NHL.
40 goal scorer.
But he grew up playing a different game. Like, I mean, to expect someone to just walk in and be able to play the North American style after playing a completely different style on a different ice surface over here, that's tough to ask. And some guys do it, and some guys don't. But I just wonder, in the case of, you know, guys in Russia who are 28, 29 and getting older, if they can adapt their game to the North American style, which is on smaller ice. You got to move the puck quicker. You got to make quicker decisions. You got to get it deep. And it's not a bad game. It's just a different game.
Ray was also telling us yesterday how impressed he was with Patrick Laine, especially during the game yesterday, Gord. And he feels that basically he's going to run out of racetrack in order to make it a tougher decision, 1-2 in the upcoming draft. What have your impressions been of what you've seen from Laine?
Well, we love the horse race, right? Everyone loves the horse race. Who's going to be number one? It's not really a race. I mean, Austin Matthews is a center. Laine is a winger. So right away you say you take the center over the winger. And Laine is a really, really good player. That shot, that release, is really special. Now, the difference is, I guess you'd say, Timo Salonen had a great career in the NHL, right? We'd agree? Hall of Fame career. Love him. Timo didn't necessarily make other players around him better. He scored a lot of goals. Austin Matthews is going to make other players around him better. He's going to be good, and the player whoever plays with him is going to be better based on his play. It's not a shot at Lion A. The Winnipeg Jets have tons of good centers and tons of good playmakers. He's going to get tons of pucks to shoot on goal. Austin Matthews is going to go to Toronto and create chances for other players. And that's why he'll go number one, and Lion A probably goes two. But I got to tell you, he's not here. Jesse Puljujarvi is a natural center. He's a really good player, too.
I have to ask you about a play in front of the bench here. Looked like you hooked up legs with Lion A. Some felt it might have been on purpose. What were your intentions there?
No idea what you're talking about.
All right, so how about Corey Perry, player of the game tomorrow against Sweden?
Well, so what do you think of Corey Perry, Mitch?
Just what we started talking about. He's one of the dirtiest players in the league, and he's one of the best players in the league.
Right. He's a great, dirty player. He's a Memorial Cup champion. He's an Olympic champion. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He's a goal scorer. He's not fleet of foot, never has been. He has played the game with a chip on his shoulder the entire time. I remember in Christmas 2004, before the 05 World Junior in Grand Forks, Brent Sutter walked into the dressing room, threw down $200 and said, anyone who's got hair down past your collar, get it cut. And everyone did except Perry. He refused.
My hero.
And he was going to be cut that year. He was the OHL scoring champion the year before he'd been cut. And Brent Sutter didn't like him. He was slow of foot the whole bit. And he basically scored his way onto the team. He made it as a 13th forward. And a kid named Jeremy Colleton got hurt before the tournament started. So they put Perry up with Patrice Bergeron and Sidney Crosby. And he was unbelievable.
The rest is history.
That's the Corey Perry story. He's had to prove himself all the way along. And he does it by being competitive, gritty, and dirty. And I wouldn't doubt it if Corey Perry had a great game against Sweden tomorrow. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. He does quite often, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he did something irretrievably stupid along the way.
Finland, Denmark, 9 o'clock tomorrow. Canada, Sweden at 1. We'll be watching, Gord. Thanks for this, as always. Thanks to Blair for the giggles, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Hey, thank you for the giggles, Blair. Say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Good night.
Still to come, a four-pack of tickets to the World Junior Hockey Championship right here in Montreal in December. And then tomorrow we start giving away tickets for like a semifinal game and then the gold medal game on Friday. Pierre McGuire between the benches in Tampa Bay, Lightning and Penguins. And we also have tickets to give away to the P.K. Subban Gala at the Just for Last Festival, with all proceeds going to the Montreal Children's Hospital, when COO of Just for Laughs, Bruce Hills, joins us in studio in about 30 minutes. On Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.